Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We're located in Brookville, Wisconsin, and I am Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor there at Brookside. And with me in the studio is Brother Steve Hartung. And Brother Steve, we've been talking about principles of God's ownership of everything that we have and how it's just a different theology, a different philosophy, just a different mindset, isn't it? That when we get the paycheck, it's not ours. It's something that God has allowed us to use. And what would you say would be kind of a foundational principle scripture that you'd like to call our attention to?
Well, 1 Chronicles 29:11-12 reads, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." So that passage points out that, you know, for all that is in heaven and earth is the Lord's. And,
sure.
You know, the Lord owns everything, and we do not.
So it's kind of like children living in home, and their dad bought it all, he pays for it all, he maintains it all, and he gives the children the opportunity to use what he has provided for them, but yet it's not theirs. Now, sometimes they mess up on their thinking. I know sometimes when kids get married, they think everything in their bedroom is theirs, and they're going to empty out their bedroom and, you know, take it to their new home. And as a dad, we've experienced that a couple of times. And you walk in and you look at an empty bedroom and you go, what happened here? But yeah, even though we paid for it all, you know, they've been using it the whole time. And so, yeah, we say, okay, you can have it. Go ahead and take it to your new home as you're starting a new home. But in essence, many times that is our idea of everything that we have, isn't it? It's mine, and I'm going to hold on to it. And the total opposite of having an open hand and allowing God to take anything out of it that he wants because it's his, that takes a different mindset, doesn't it?
It does. We have to get past that idea that we own it. Because we have our hands on it, we own it.
Right.
And you know, the Lord speaks to that also. And what he says in Psalm 8, verse 6, "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands." You know, so we have dominion over what the Lord has given us. We don't own it. And that concept of dominion, we have a responsibility, therefore, towards what it is that we own. It's not ours to do as we see fit. It's ours to do it as the Lord sees fit. And that then becomes our task. It's a lot different than the world point of view, that if I own it, I can do with it as
sure.
I see fit. The biblical point of view is you don't own it. The Lord owns it, and you are to do with it as the Lord sees fit.
So it's kind of like a bank teller. The bank teller handles a lot of money all day long, but none of it is hers. And she has to give an account at the end of the day when she finishes out the day, and everything has to even out and balance out. She may have had hundreds of thousands of dollars going through her hands, but none of it's hers.
That's right, and that is we have to recognize that. You know, the Lord owns it. He's given us possession of it. He's told us in his word what to do with it, how to use it to his glory, and that being the end point, to bring people to a right opinion, a right understanding of God. And so he tells us, right in his word, that we will have to give an account for what we do with the possessions. Then it goes beyond possessions, and we can talk further. That it goes to talents and our time. I mean, all of these things are things that belong to the Lord, and we are to be stewards over, to exercise proper dominion over.
Because we're going to give an account of what we did with our time and what we did with the talents, the abilities, shall we say, that God gave to us. And one day we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord will say, okay, let's test all these things by fire, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about, how it's gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And I think that's a picture of what God is wanting us to keep in mind every day of our lives. How will this face the judgment seat of Christ? How will this decision?
That's right. How will it stand, or will it burn?
Right. Is it going to bring glory to God, or just temporary glory to me? And if it's going to bring glory to me, it's going to burn.
That's right. That's exactly what it says. And this standard, or this concept of giving an account, you can see in Luke 16, verses 1 and 2, where it reads, "He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.'" And then in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You know, so here's the standard that's laid out for us, you know, as people. God owns it. He's given us dominion over it. He's made us stewards over his property.
Sure.
And he says it's required that we be found faithful in our use of those resources, whether it's material, time, or talent.
So let's just talk about our physical resources and our bodies and things like that. If the Lord decides that he wants a disability to become a part of our life permanently, at that point we have to go back to the Lord and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm a steward, and if I can't serve you with a very, very strong, healthy body like I did before, how do you want me to serve you best with now a body that has some disabilities?" Then that's what he has in mind, isn't it?
That's right. We are to do with what it is the Lord has provided, you know, in a faithful manner, and not to be questioning or trying to get, you know, get an answer for why did you provide me with resources, you know, in this manner versus some other manner.
Right. In essence, when we start asking the question why, it's like we become really close to the owner's seat, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, that's right. In a sense, yeah, that you know, you ought to be the decider of what resources you're provided, and we're not. You know, from a biblical perspective, we just are not.
So then it does get back to our heart, doesn't it?
It certainly gets back to our heart, and you know, these are not just intellectual principles, you know, that or just financial principles, where you can, you know, you can sit down as an accountant or a financial planner and, you know, put together a formula. There's certainly room for all of those concepts. I'm not intending to degrade them at all.
Sure.
But they need to be biblically informed, and we get biblically informed by being in His Word, in God's Word, and through prayer. And then through the, you know, the proper application of His Word.
And I think I'm reminded of a verse, and I can't quote it specifically, but I think it talks about riches and how that they can take wings and fly away. And so often, if our riches do take wings and fly away, our 401k becomes a 101k or something.
Yeah.
At that point, our heart's attitude about riches is really revealed, isn't it?
It is. Lots of people are going through difficult times now because they saw that happen to their 401k.
Right.
And you know, for those who have the 401k, you know, and have our other savings vehicles, you know, not everybody even has had those.
Exactly.
And when the difficult economic winds, you know, have been blowing as they have the last few years, you know, there's no safety net. You know, God speaks to savings too. There's you know, lots of topics that the Lord speaks to as to, you know, how we ought to be properly ordering our financial situation.
But yet, even if we are following those principles and we're trying to set money aside for savings and things like that, if the Lord's will is that those savings dry up, then at that point we have to determine, okay, God, does that mean that I'm going to be in a mess, or are you simply trying to teach me how to trust you more and not necessarily focusing my attention on how much money I have in my savings?
That's right. I mean, we you know, as people, we can get you know, pretty focused on the material, and again, if you lose track of who's the owner of these resources, it's easy to trust in the resources and not the provider of the resources.
Right.
You know, and so if the resources get provided at some time in the past, and you're prudent in the sense that, you know, you put some of that away, and and you have the fortune of that growing through proper investments, it's easy to then start transferring your trust from In God We Trust to in the dollar we trust.
In gold we trust.
Yeah, and that's a better, especially in, you know.
In today's society, yeah.
In today's society, yeah. The gold example, right. You know, there's lots of people, you know, heading for gold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with investing properly, but,
right.
You know, your trust cannot be in those things.
But we're talking to some folks this morning, Steve, that they may have done everything they possibly could. They may have been wise financially. They may have been frugal. They may have been saving. But yet they are still to the point that they are just barely making ends meet. And do you think at that point every day as you get up and you say, wow, I don't know if I'm going to make it through today, or maybe they got a pink slip yesterday, you know, and all of a sudden they wake up this morning and they say, I don't have a job. I remember experiencing that a few years ago. I resigned my church ministry and I woke up the next morning and, Steve, that was the first thought that came to my mind. I don't have a job. And for the first time since I was 14 years old, I didn't have a job, and I had no income, I had no insurance, you know, I had no benefits, and all of a sudden I realized, but I'm not without God. And in the next few months, it was just amazing to see how that God met our needs in just amazing ways through His people and through various circumstances, so that then when I was able to get a new ministry, God then just began to provide through the ministry. But in between those two jobs, from the end of February to the 1st of June, God was able to just kind of say, okay, now do you trust me? It's easy to trust Him when I've got a paycheck coming in.
it's a lot easier. Yeah.
You know, when I've got an insurance card in my billfold. But all of a sudden you say, now, Lord, you're going to have to keep me well, because I don't have any insurance. And if I face this situation, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. At that point, Steve, we begin to truly understand what it means, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do everything we possibly can. Go out and fill out applications every day and work as hard at finding a job as you would if you went to a job every day. But at the end of the day, being able to look at your family and look at yourself in the mirror and simply say, I'm doing my very best, and I'm going to be trusting God to meet our needs. And next time we get together, as we continue this discussion of just trusting God, I trust that each one of you that are listening to us this morning will realize that indeed in God we trust. And I trust that that mindset will get you through in a fantastic way today.